from San Francisco, California, with your host, Ben Kaspik. This is Locked On Giants Baseball. Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Kaspik, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. On this show, we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also insightful and easily digestible, easy for everyone to understand. Following up on this Astros cheating scandal, we talked at length yesterday about how Alex Cora was in some trouble, and yesterday the Red Sox elected to fire their manager, Alex Cora, for his connection to the cheating scandal when he was the Astros bench coach. And that decision was made before Major League Baseball even handed out a punishment to Alex Cora. He is likely to be hit with a punishment worse than the one-year suspensions for AJ Hinch and Jeff Luhnow. But of course, those two were hit with the one-year suspensions and then were fired by the Astros. So this is becoming just a monumental story. I think there are some interesting Giants connections here, most notably Joe Espada, who was reportedly a finalist to become the new Giants manager. The fact is, Joe Espada was not with the Astros in 2017 when most of this cheating was happening. But he did become their bench coach in 2018, and the report from Commissioner Manfred does describe that the cheating was ongoing in the 2018 season, but at some point they were said to have stopped because it had stopped being effective, most likely because teams were growing more and more suspicious of the Astros and had started to disguise their signs better, you know, using multiple signs with nobody on base. But they do stand accused and, I believe, you know, definitively found guilty of cheating in the 2018 season when Joe Espada was the bench coach. And so, regardless of what role he played in the scandal, it appears he was there when they were actively cheating. So, you know, it would be shocking if he wasn't aware that this was going on. So not really something that the Giants would want to have to be dealing with right now. And I get it. They had their own little controversy with the decision to hire Gabe Kapler. But let's not pretend that this wouldn't be a story and a controversy right now if they had hired Espada. And the thing I'll say about Kapler, for some people who maybe weren't aware what MLB does in its investigation, we can see now that they were extremely thorough with the Astros investigation. This was a three-month process and came to definitive conclusions and handed down severe penalties where they found violations of rules. And I will repeat that the same type of investigation took place when this story came out about Gabe Kapler and the Dodgers and these incidents that happened when he was the farm director there. MLB did a very thorough investigation, and their conclusion was that Kapler did absolutely nothing wrong and that he, quote, acted appropriately given the information that was known to him at the time. So there's been a lot written about Kapler and what happened, but I think a lot of it is made up and not actually rooted in fact. And so we did have a factual report from Susan Slusser, who was quoting one of the MLB investigators, who said, yeah, we basically read through like 2,000 emails and interviewed dozens of people, and our conclusion was that he did nothing wrong. So it's kind of crazy that that was such a controversy, and then something like this, where there was actual, you know, clear violations of rules and cheating, that perhaps, I mean, would that have been as big of a story if the Giants had hired Espada? I would say that that actually is a bigger deal because of the fact that MLB certainly found that the Astros violated the rules. So I just think that's an interesting conversation that, unfortunately, most Giants fans probably aren't willing to have, it would seem. I think a lot of people have jumped to conclusions, and that is partially the fault of some poor reporting on this subject initially. So don't take my word for it. I would implore anyone to go read the facts about what happened. Susan Slusser's article in the Chronicle is a good place to start. There was also an article at some point before the Giants got involved at all with Kapler that recapped the investigation that found that he did nothing wrong. So as much as fans wanted the Giants to hire Joe Espada and thought that they made a grave mistake by not hiring Espada and instead going with Kapler, I would make the argument that, you know, the one who probably is more guilty and would bring more baggage, if we're talking about what did they actually do in their past that was wrong, we're looking maybe more at Joe Espada. Now, Espada was not named in the report, so this is kind of speculation. For all we know, he was against it and was powerless and complained about it, and nobody did anything, and he felt like there was nothing he could do to stop it. But at the end of the day, he was a coach on a team that was actively cheating. So not exactly what the Giants would want to be dealing with right now heading into spring training. It's similar to what the Mets are going through, which is a very big local story for them right now. But that's more so because Beltran is named in the report. Carlos Beltran, their new manager whom they hired this offseason, is named in the report. He was a player for the Astros at the time, and he is said to be one of the masterminds behind this cheating plot. So that is not a good look for the New York Mets, and they find themselves in a very messy situation because of it. Anyway, coming up in the second half of the show, I want to switch gears a little bit and look ahead to the 2020 Giants. The season is really around the corner in a way, at least spring training. You know, we're significantly less than a month away now, which is very exciting. Less than a month away from pitchers and catchers reporting, which happens on February 11th. But there was an article for NBC Sports Bay Area today about Alex Dickerson and his health, so I want to discuss that. But first, this spring, follow your favorite baseball teams to Arizona for Cactus League spring training. Amazing weather and landscapes, exciting outdoor adventure, incredible food. Arizona is the perfect home base for baseball fans. 10 stadiums, 15 MLB teams, 75-degree temperatures. All 10 stadiums are in Greater Phoenix, within 50 miles. Meet the players and get autographs before games. Check out amazing restaurants and bars nearby, including tons of craft breweries like Four Peaks, Angel's Trumpet Ale House, and Goldwater Brewing Company. Arizona is known for its incredible landscapes and thrilling outdoor adventures. Hiking, biking, jeep tours, hot air balloons, skydiving, or just take in a sunset. No matter what you love to do, Arizona has you covered. Bringing the kids along to spring training, Arizona is a fantastic destination for families. Family-friendly resorts and hotels offer plenty of fun for kids of all ages, from water parks to horseback rides to games and activities. It really is a wonderful time to head out to Arizona, enjoy some baseball in the sunshine in February and March, and all of the many things that Arizona has to offer. Plan your spring training getaway at visitarizona.com/springtraining. Here in the second half of the show, I want to shift gears to the 2020 Giants, and specifically Alex Dickerson and the Giants offense, their team outlook, and specifically their outfield. So Dalton Johnson reporting for NBC Sports Bay Area, citing this interview Dickerson had with KNBR's Mark Willard on Tuesday, in which Dickerson said basically that he's been really healthy in the offseason. He said, quote, "Spent a little downtime letting my oblique really fully heal. It was pretty good by the end of the year, but it still definitely had some scar tissue and stuff that I had to work through. For the most part, it was the first normal offseason I've had in probably 5 years. Health's great and feeling good and ready for spring." Dickerson also said, "We're going to have a younger, hungrier group. Guys are really going to want to prove themselves, so I think the energy is definitely going to be there. Anytime you have a staff change, there's going to be some adjustment period. But I think from staff down to the players, we have a lot of guys who are hungry and want to prove something." Dickerson also said he met with new manager Gabe Kapler, and the two had coffee in Orange County. And Dickerson came away with a glowing review, saying, quote, "I was impressed. He was very well prepared. Had a bunch of interesting questions. He seems to have a plan set up for this group of guys." So yet another glowing review from a Giants player about Gabe Kapler. We've literally heard nothing but glowing reviews from Giants players who have met him so far, and excitement about the new coaching staff and the direction of the team. So it's kind of a false narrative that this is like a bad thing and a bad direction for the Giants. The most important opinions are going to be those of the players who have to work and stand to improve by working with these coaches. obviously you don't want like bad people and people who have done horrible things in your coaching staff and on your team. But I just think Kapler gets a little bit of an unfair reputation, and more so a hugely unfair reputation given the facts we know about those incidents. But so anyway, looking at Dickerson specifically from just a baseball perspective, I mean, he was such a huge shot in the arm last year, of course, when he got traded to the Giants. I know people were upset about that trade, which we liked on this show at the time, really liked what Dickerson had done in his career, and man, did he perform. He ended up hitting 290 with a 351 on base and 529 slugging, which was a 128 weighted runs created plus, meaning he was about 30% above average offensively for the Giants in 171 plate appearances. He also had a 368 weighted on base average and a 362 expected weighted on base average based on quality of contact, meaning that essentially the results were backed up by the way he was hitting the ball. Wasn't a fluky performance from Dickerson. That being said, historically in his career, he does have platoon splits. He's much better. He's been much better against righties than he has been against lefties. But I don't think that's an issue at all. I mean, some really good players are like this. I think of Jock Peterson. I've continually called Dickerson a poor man's Jock Peterson. I don't think the comp is perfect, but, you know, as a guy who can just be an impact bat when there's righties on the mound, and he needs the rest health-wise, you know, so sitting him regularly against lefties isn't the worst thing in the world. And then I made this point on Twitter. The new three-batter minimum rule is going to positively impact players like Dickerson, because opponents, when they bring in a reliever, have to leave that pitcher in for three batters unless the inning ends. So say the Giants have their righty lineup out there against a lefty starter, then the opponent naturally goes to a righty reliever at some point. Well, the Giants are going to be able to get Dickerson an at bat against that right-handed pitcher, and the opponent's not going to be able to do anything about it. Giants will easily be able to pick their spots to get Dickerson a matchup against a righty. Whereas in the past, you might pinch hit with Dickerson and the opponent might counter with a lefty reliever, no matter at what point you use Alex Dickerson in that spot. So it's going to be far easier to get that platoon advantage. So that's why I think this is a good rule for baseball, because it's going to increase offense, decrease strikeouts, because you're going to more easily be able to get the platoon advantage as the offensive team as opposed to as the defensive team. So I just think it bodes very well for a player like Dickerson. And if he's healthy, I think we're underrating the impact he can have for the Giants. And even if he's not healthy, I mean, we act as if you have to be a full-time 162-game player in order to have value. But if you're playing 100 games at a really high level, that's still adding quite a bit of value. So if you can have enough guys who are just good when they play, pretty much if your whole team is just guys who are good when they play, that's fine. I mean, we've seen it for years. Pitching staffs like the Dodgers end up with fantastic numbers at the end of the season in terms of run prevention, although some of their guys, you know, they roll through like 8 or 9 different starting pitchers. They don't rely on 5 guys to throw 200 innings. They rely on 8 or 9 guys throwing 100 plus innings. Just give me good innings when you're out there and we can figure out the rest. And that's kind of the case with Dickerson. Obviously, health is preferred, but I don't think it's as big of a deal as people think, you know, that we may not expect 150 games out of Dickerson, but if he can give you 110, then you'll absolutely take it. So between him and Yastrzemski, who, by the way, if Yastrzemski moves to center and hits like he hit last year, he's one of the better hitting center fielders in all of baseball. And Dickerson's line that I just described was really good too. So then you've got potentially 2 plus bats in the outfield, with still the possibility of adding that impact corner right-handed hitting bat like Castellanos. So I think I'm just far more bullish on the Giants than most. I think that they have upside in plenty of spots, and Dickerson is a big part of that. It's like we kind of forget how good he was, but he was really good. So looking forward to hopefully a lot of games and plate appearances from him in 2020. Anyway, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every single weekday. You need to hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. Once again, my name is Ben Caspick. You can follow me on Twitter at Ben Caspick. If you like this show, please consider rating it, leaving a review, and telling your friends and family to check us out. I cannot wait to be with you again tomorrow, and until then, we'll see you next time.